You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We bring you back with Simple Minds here. Just another reminder, the reason Soccer Talk is on the radio here, and in Austin, by the way, tomorrow night in Austin at 7 o'clock Central Time, a little more Austin-centric show, is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they'll bring you a personalized approach. They have been our presenting sponsor now for some time. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Nobody wants to get in an accident. You get in a car, a motorcycle, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. John and his firm are going to cover you. They're going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. And then you'll get that representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. And just remember, if you need a personal injury attorney or somebody to help represent you, he's a huge soccer fan, so he's put his money behind soccer on the radio, and we very much appreciate that sponsorship and that passion from John Daspit and his firm. Speaking of a guy who played the game with passion, coaches the game with passion, we bring in now a guy that in 2002 became a huge, huge piece of the U.S. run in the World Cup. He is now a Houston Dynamo assistant. You remember him on the Colorado Rapids, won an MLS Cup in 2010. He's now a Houston Dynamo assistant coach. He joins us now, Pablo Mastroianni. Pablo, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Glenn, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, it's about time, right? I mean, I've been thinking about this week in and week out. It's been great to get Tab on. It's been great to get Omid on, and I think people are going to really enjoy this interview. So I'll just start it off with how are you handling the quarantine, and have you learned anything?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a little bit difficult for everyone. You know, I think for me, initially, it was really difficult as far as being secluded in an apartment in a town I'm not really familiar with the family back in Colorado. And I quickly came to a conclusion where I was either going to come out of this and be a more evolved person, or I was just going to live waiting for the time to get back to work. And so I've dug in deep and really been doing a lot of reading, doing a lot of working out, doing a lot of reflecting upon my coaching documents and kind of refining those. In communication with Tab and Omid every day about what we want to do as a group, and along the way playing a little bit of guitar as well. So I've really had an opportunity to do a lot of things that only a situation like this would afford, and to be honest, I've taken advantage of that.
Yeah, you know, it's been great to hear response. I mean, that's a tremendous response you just gave, and Omid had a great response. Tab, players talking about how they appreciate their wives taking care of their children more. It really can be a reflective period. So when people like yourselves say this, it's great because, there is a lot to learn, and there is no question about it. So tomorrow, essentially, take us kind of through what's going to happen tomorrow when it comes to getting back on the fields and what sort of restrictions are going to be put on and where you think this has obviously got to be a psychological win getting back to the sports park.
Yeah, so, I think it's been pushed back a day, possibly two. I think everything was okayed by the league this afternoon, and so I think just to be able to make sure we got everything in place and kicking this thing off in the right way, I think it's going to be delayed till Thursday. I think it's like I said, there's been a lot of work behind the scenes, you know, between Tab, Matt, and the whole staff really putting their heads together and organizing everything from parking spots for the particular players, the way they're going to enter the field. There's going to be four players per field. So if you can imagine that, every field is going to be cut into fours. And there's going to be, 13, 14 players at one time spread across four different fields. And then there'll be a coach in the middle kind of liaising the exercises and Tab kind of overseeing everything with our sports performance, Paul Caffrey. And again, guys are getting their temperatures checked upon arrival. They must be wearing a mask as they come out of their car. They will bring, essentially, they'll come dressed, and they'll each bring two balls and set up their own grid, and we'll have meetings the night before and things that they'll be able to see to set up the fields in the right manner. But it's a really cautious, a very much very well thought out process to get these guys in and around each other without being able to really, you know, touch each other's other parts of the field and you know, super cautious on the safety side. And so the idea is this is going to be one phase. And once we get past this phase, you know, hopefully everything goes well, everyone makes it through, then we can build the small groups. But it's going to be a very interesting process and one that isn't really necessarily when you think about team. This is a bit more sterile, a bit more, you know, the distances are a bit unusual, but I think it's a good first step to move in the direction that we all want as sports fans, which is to get sports going again.
Yeah, well put there. And just listening to you talk about it, it's very complicated because you're very conscious of everybody's movements and how close they get to each other. Wow. It sounds like a lot of hours went into putting all this together. We're talking to Pablo Mastroianni, U.S. national team, MLS Cup winner, best 11 Miami Fusion. By the way, Gabe Gabor sent, I think, a tweet or something somehow on social media saying Pablo was his favorite player in Miami. So I just wanted to let you know that.
What a good man, Gabe.
Yeah. There's a guy who's worked in the game of soccer for so long and is also an MVP. All right, 2002 World Cup. And I want to get into you a little bit because I want some of the Dynamo fan base to understand more about you. 2002, you don't even play, and correct me if I get anything factually wrong here, you don't play in World Cup qualifying. Chris Armas gets this very serious injury, and your opportunity comes, and all of a sudden you're in the lineup of the opening game of the World Cup against Portugal.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he goes back even a little bit further. I went and I didn't play any qualifiers. I went to a couple qualifiers and was basically brought along to kind of see the process. I didn't dress for any of the games. And then there was a friendly in the end of 2001, and it was against South Korea. And Bruce brought me along because he was thinking maybe I could be a right back. And he just kind of wanted to see my progress. Well, in that game, I got eaten alive by their winger, who was a fantastic player. And I remember Bruce writing me a note saying, hey, listen, 2002 is out of the question, given where you're at, but 2006 is around the corner, and you need to be ready to go. And so, obviously, it was a big blow to my ego. But I stayed fit, and sure enough, Greg Berhalter went down with an injury, and he called me literally 2 days before the Gold Cup camp, January camp, and said, hey, would you want to come in and play center back? And so I came in, I didn't play the first game, but then started the second game of the Gold Cup, and then we won every game and won the championship. And then all of a sudden, I'm a cover for right back, but I'm also a cover for center back. And at the time I was playing in Colorado, and I was playing a defensive midfield, so that was a position that I could cover as well. And so I ended up making the team purely based on a lot of different factors that were, some of them were in my control, but a lot of them were not. Like you said, Chris Armas going down. And then, obviously, starting the 2002 World Cup, we're playing against Portugal, and Claudio Reyna goes down literally the day before with a hamstring pull. And so, as fate would have it, you know, I was the next guy in line for that, and that's kind of how it all went down. But a lot of circumstances had to take place in order for me to make the team and then, obviously, to start that game.
It really is a remarkable story. And then, of course, then you play so well in that historic win over Portugal. So when you're coming out of that tunnel, and I know your relationship with your father and your father's pride with you getting to play in a World Cup, when you're in that tunnel, can you remember some of the things going through your mind? I mean, what's going on?
You know, it all happened so fast, Glenn. It was one of those, like, where you're kind of in disbelief. You're almost like your feet never hit the ground. I mean, the moment I'm on this team, I'm like, what am I doing here? And you know, and you're around guys that you've watched your whole life, like Kobe Jones, Ernie Stewart, you know, Brad Friedel, Eddie Pope, these guys, and you're like, wow, man, I'm one of these guys, you know? And so I can't recall anything that happened before the game, but a really cool thing happened after the game, and it goes back to 1986. And I remember watching the World Cup. We just moved to the States in 1980, and so from Argentina. And that World Cup, I can remember every game sitting with my father in the front room, and you know, and every missed chance that Argentina had, his hand would hit the coffee table and scare everyone in the house, you know, and he'd start cursing. And I just remember how much passion my dad had watching this game. And obviously Maradona had the most amazing World Cup, and Argentina won. And I remember after the Cup, we were sitting with my dad, and he said, what do you think? You think you have a chance to play for a World Cup? And I said, well, maybe, you know, if I keep working hard, you know. And he says, well, if you can dream it, if you can dream the possibility of being in the World Cup, you can achieve it. And so that was kind of like, that kind of set the table. After the game, fast forward to 2002, after the Portugal game, I remember going up and having my jersey, I took my jersey off, and I'm waving it to our fans, and all of a sudden this banner unfurls at the top, and it said, Dare to Dream, Pablito. And, wow. And at that moment, I realized, like, how amazing the ability to dream and to have people that believe in you and have a family that supports you, and that you're not only representing yourself, but you're representing a whole community of people. And I think at that moment, it kind of came full circle.
Man, that one just hit me right in the heart. That's an amazing story. That's a great one. Thank you for sharing that. That's as remarkable as they come. And then you played very well against Mexico, too, in that huge win in the round of 16. Anything you remember from that game other than just knocking off just a perennial, almost very unlikable rival?
Yes. I mean, there's a couple things in that game. But the one that I remember the most was, and there's a lot of, you know, when you think about, like, today's teams, one of the biggest differences is the amount of experience that was on that 2002 team versus in today's, national team. And I'm not saying just the U.S., I'm saying worldwide. I think the game has gone much faster, much more, you know, dynamic and requires actually a younger athlete to be able to achieve some of the tactical obligations that these new systems, you know, are asking. And so, but back then, you had guys like Imosa and like I said, you know, Friedel and Ernie Stewart and these kind of guys. And it was a really experienced team, and Claudio Reyna, obviously, and John O'Brien. And I remember that game early on, Guatemala Blanco was running around kind of free in the midfield. And I'll never forget, you know, Berhalter looking over at me, and he goes, listen, man, he's like, you just need to stay with him. Don't let him get the ball. And so we had this whole tactical get up, you know, set up going into the game. And in the moment where Blanco was kind of dictating the play a little bit, you know, a couple of the experience, this guy's got together and said, we need to deal with this guy. And me being one of the younger guys on the team, I just did what they, you know, what the guys, were asking me to do. And it ended up making it difficult for Mexico to play through the middle. And that came from the field, you know. And so I think it speaks a lot about the experience of that group and being able to problem solve and make big time decisions in critical moments. And you know, we talk about coaches all the time. It's easy to make adjustments at halftime, but by then it might be too late. And it's that type of moment in that type of game from a few of the guys in the back line that really came together and said, "Hey, this is what we need." And it ended up making it a lot easier for them, and obviously a lot easier for us to force them down the wide areas. And so that's one of the moments that I remember personally, along with obviously defending really well as a group and then just catching them on two amazing counters and two amazing goals. And at that time, too, Mexico was flying through their group, and it was just they were an amazing team. And so to beat our biggest rivals on that stage was really a tremendous, achievement.
So, Pablo, I'm going to have to get you back on the show, and it's going to have to be pretty soon because there's so much more I want to talk to you about, including player development, the time you went and studied Mauricio Pochettino in England, your time as a head coach, the new staff that's put together. So can we do that again at some point? Would you be available?
Absolutely,
for
Grant. Yeah.
Yeah.
I apologize for the long-winded answers.
No. This is what it's about. This has been a fantastic interview. I mean, I learned so much in this interview, and it's great. I want to do it again with you, okay?
Awesome, bud. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. That's Pablo Mastroianni, Dynamo assistant. Unbelievable stories there that you just got. I want to ask him about some of the current players now based on those players he mentioned, the Ernie Stewarts and the Greg Berhalters and the guys who are making in-change, in-game tactical moves, and how maybe the modern player might be a little bit different. We're going to get him back on the show. We got to do it real soon, too. All right, heading out to the highway. Priest, Judas Priest, going to break here.